Three, two, one. And we're back. Okay, so in this SPH podcast, I'm going to be going over my spring plans as far as tactics and what I'm actually going to be doing even before the season starts to up to the season starting. So as many of you guys probably know, in the winter, you have a lot of time and you're very bored. So what do you do when you're really bored? Is pretty much get ready for the next season, because what else do you do in the winter? So a huge part of my fishing is being prepared. And what I like to do to be prepared is to go through all my plugs and organize them, and sharpen hooks, switch out hooks, make hooks beefier, make notes. A lot of the time I'll have plugs that I fished with and I was like, okay, next time I fish with this, I need to do this to it. But then I didn't have enough time to do it because the season's always super hectic. And I feel like you never really have enough time to just go and switch, like be there meticulously tweaking your plugs when you would rather use that time to be actually fishing. So there's a lot of stuff that I do like that I'm doing in the winter. One thing I do a lot of is I test plugs with different hooks. I test plugs for Puma plugs as well, but I do a lot of different stuff where I'll mess around with hooks and whatnot on different plugs, trying to see if I can get away with throwing single hooks on them. So I do a lot of that type of stuff in the winter. Although sometimes it's difficult when, you know, the harbors and stuff are frozen solid. So it's pretty funny when you're trying to go test plugs and you walk over to the harbor and it's completely frozen solid, which has happened a few times for me this year. I don't do, you know, something that's interesting that I don't do at all and probably want to try to get into is trying to fish and hunt down holdover striped bass. So where I am on Cape Ann, we live on the Great Marsh or the Great Salt Marsh or whatever. So it's pretty much, I think, a big part of what feeds the whole ecosystem, which makes the bass fishery where I'm at pretty healthy and produce a lot of very large fish, is due to the fact that there's like two large rivers, I guess you could kind of call them rivers, that dump out. There's like the Essex River, and then there's the Merrimack. I could be I shouldn't really go into this because if I'm wrong, I'm going to be getting destroyed. But there's like two like major like outflows, I guess, of water. And so we get a lot of bait that moves up into those major outflows in the winter and are in the spring and in the winter, but in the fall as well. And so that's where I think a lot of striped bass will push in. I think there's probably pretty good holdover fishing around here because my research has shown me that like a healthy estuary system is going to hold over striped bass. So for those of you that don't know what holdover striped bass is, a holdover striped bass is a striped bass, for whatever reason, has decided not to migrate. So what they do is they go up into salt marshes, little salt ponds and stuff. They'll make it a pretty far, they'll go pretty far. And you'll be shocked at how far up these little bass will move, and sometimes not even so little. I mean, I've heard stories of people getting bass up to almost 40 inches in the winter. So it's pretty crazy to think that there's fish like that around in the winter. I personally have never seen a striped bass caught past like the middle of November, but in theory there are some pretty sizable striped bass around in the winter. So I'm super excited to try to give that a shot maybe this year. I mean, there's a lot of months left, so I'll probably start itching to throw some plugs around once it gets close. So maybe, who knows, I'll give it a shot one day to try to figure out some holdovers. And so the other thing I want to get into as far as spring tactics and plans. So I have gone over like how I attack the spring, but I have goals of mine for fishing, and my goal really this spring is to start trying to fish more in estuaries in the spring and learn how to fish estuaries, because that's a big like part of my fishing or that I'm not good at. I have done very, very little of it. And I've caught, I mean, I've caught fish in harbors before. I've caught fish, I've had fish blow up on me in estuaries, but I couldn't tell you super, I mean, I understand striped bass fishing well, so I understand where the fish would be and how to target them, but I haven't done a lot of it. So really what I'm going to be saying wouldn't really be my firsthand knowledge of fishing, although I have pulled some fish out of like mouths of rivers that have been pretty large, and that's kind of within spitting distance of estuaries a few times. So it's kind of like fishing in the estuary, but at the same time, I haven't really done a lot of it. And I know that a bait fish that is very prominent in the spring is the alewife, which is like pretty much a giant shad like thing, and they travel from the ocean up through the rivers into these ponds pretty far. I mean, they'll go really, really far. Talk about and I know where they are in these ponds. I've seen freshwater ponds where the alewife are spawning and stuff. So I have an idea of how they're getting to that spot. So I'm going to try to cut them off at certain areas up these rivers and see if I can get into some bigger fish. Because if you think about it, an alewife, for instance, this is a perfect imitation of an alewife, they're big. So they're a large white bait fish, but they can have like a blackish blue color to them or a purpley color to them. So this is a great imitation with that pink and purple. This is something I'm going to be throwing a lot of around the river mouths in the spring around slack tide. So what I'll do is when the water's flowing out, that's when the water's the warmest and it's going to be pushing bait out. Because if you think about it, in the spring, it's pretty cool. Like the water temps are really cool. So what happens is the bait fish and the striped bass are not super aggressive in theory. They're like the warmer water, which is going to get, that's getting warmed up in the, because the darker mud and shallower water is going to take the sun heat and warm up the water quicker. So when that gets pushed out, then the water getting pushed out is going to be warmer and the bait is going to be, in theory, getting pushed out with those, the tides. And I'm guessing around the moon phases, if you set up on an outflowing tide, I think that it could be a pretty interesting, you know, I think that around a few rips that I know of in these estuaries, if I throw something big like this and I let it wobble in the current, if there's a 30, 40 pound bass that's up early and moving in, maybe I'll have a shot at hooking into something. So I'm excited to try to go throw this, and hopefully I can get into something good, but, color is very important. So color of, it being a bluish, pink, purpley color, is very important for that, like shad, cause it has, again, this is all like white pretty much is king in my opinion. You can throw a white plug, especially it being a topwater lure, white and yellow is really good. But it has those little purpley hues to them, a lot of the time the bass will be more keyed in on that color if they see a flashing purpley color on the surface with that action of an injured bait fish, like the, like these Danny plugs do. I can't imagine them not a big fish not passing up a whack at that, as well as throwing large magnum walkers. So like this in this color is going to be another thing that I'm going to be throwing in the estuaries, but I am going to be throwing the smaller version. So I have a small Magnum Walker because these come in two sizes, but I'm going to be throwing the smaller version of the Magnum Walker, and that in the estuaries for those bass that are, you know, the mid 20 to up even to 40 pounders would go and whack that, just because it has that super slow walking motion that the fish really can't pass up. So that's something that I am definitely going to try to get into more, because so my as far as I understand this, what you want to look for is where the estuaries, because it kind of snakes around like this, and there's going to be points that stick out, and the current is either going to be moving. So say the estuary looks like this. See if this makes sense. Okay, perfect. So say the estuary looks like this. The current is going to be coming this way, okay? And it's going to be coming along the top of this, and it's going to be kind of eddying right here. And that's where the bass are going to be sitting, waiting for the bait fish to get trapped or pushed into. So what you do is you walk the estuaries and you focus on those little bends, and you throw in there, and hopefully you can hook into some fish. And now that I'm thinking about it, there was one time where I hiked to this estuary. It took like an hour to hike to this estuary. It was like way far away, and I finally got there. And I had a small little popper, and it was like noon. It was super hot out, and I caught probably 15 bass that were all like 25 inches on this little popper, right in this one little eddy that I found. Have never even fished in an estuary before. And I mean, that's interesting. I don't know why I didn't think of that earlier, because that is the only time that I've ever fished in an estuary or really went purposely to fish an estuary. I also know that fishing estuaries at night can be very productive, but I haven't done a lot of estuary fishing in general, and as I've always said, never fish a place at night that you haven't fished during the day. So I'm gonna do a lot of early morning topwater missions to these estuaries before I start fishing them at night, and then I'm obviously gonna be drifting live eels, because that's my favorite way to catch large fish. I can assume that if you throw an eel out there and you let it just swing right into the eddy and you let it just sit right in the current there for a little bit, reeling super slow, like I'm talking about crawling the eel back towards you, that in just the action of the current pushing it along, if the eel's big enough or powerful enough to swim down into it a little bit, oh, it's gonna get absolutely crunched. So that's something that I'm gonna really focus on, is fishing these rivers and not being scared of going too far up the estuaries, because I know that there are gonna be some fish, even shockingly large fish, pretty far up the estuaries and rivers. And I know that I probably will have a better shot at fishing that and getting fish early in the season than I will boulder fields. Although I did catch a fish early June, 40, we caught a 44 early June, 44 incher on a pencil in early June, which we've talked about a lot, but it was June 8th. And that's fairly early for there to be a bass of that size around. And I hadn't heard of fish like that in our area yet. So I feel like we were probably one of the first people to get a fish that big in our area. So of Cape Ann, I mean, if you or somebody you know caught one before me, please shoot me a DM or a comment on YouTube about when you caught it, because I'd be curious to know if anybody else got a bass before me that was over 44 inches. Cause that's a big fish for that time of year. And the more I think about it, I feel like that was a very, that was like an anomaly to be in that spot. It was just it's like one of those many little boulder field areas that, you can fish all off the rocks in Cape Ann off of it's deep there. It's over 25 feet deep. And just working a little pencil on the surface, and the bass came up and ate the whole thing, swallowed the entire pencil, which was pretty funny because it wasn't a huge pencil. It was probably like that big. It was probably like, it was like a six inch, 6-inch pencil, and the thing swallowed the whole pencil, just completely engulfed it, and then took off. And that was also, that pencil was blue and white, mimicking the shad alewife that are in the predominant bait fish in that time of year, I guess. So again, color is pretty important as far as, I feel like, pretty important as far as getting the bass to commit to a hit, especially if they're not super aggressive. But the spring run and the fall run are equally as good, in my opinion. Like, the fall run, I probably caught more teen size fish. And what I mean by teen size fish is probably is bass between like 15 and like 25, 30 pounders. I caught a lot, even though I did catch my biggest fish towards the end of the, in like August. I'm talking about like late August. So in like early, like October. So it was like late August, early October. I was catching a lot of bass that were like between 15 and 30 pounds, but there was a few like mid 40s mixed in. But at the beginning of the season, on live eels, we were catching a lot of the lot. I mean, actually not me personally, but the people that I was fishing with, were catching a lot of 40 pounders. So, yeah, I did have a fairly good early season, but I was bringing people out fishing with them in the beginning of the season, and they were all catching 40-pound bass. And I don't think I caught my first 40 until July. So, yeah. And I did a lot of fishing. Like, I was fishing every day at that point because there was fish that big around, and I was super stoked to be in the presence of all these people catching big fish. But I was like, come on, I want to get one, you know? Because I mean, I was putting in all the work, and then I'd bring someone out around a new moon, and then they would get slammed by a big one. Okay, so, yeah. So another cool thing that's going to be happening is I'm going to be in a booth at the 2020 fishing show, Rhode Island Fishing Show in Providence, Rhode Island, at booth 929. I'll be there. The show's in March. The show runs from March 27th to March 29th, and I'll be there every day. I'll probably be there later in the day on the 27th, because I'm pretty sure the 27th is Friday, so I'll be there probably around lunchtime is when I'll show up on Friday, but then I'll be there from the time that it starts to the time that it ends for the other 2 days. So that's breaking news. So it'll be awesome to see people out there. I hope everybody listening will go to that and come to the booth and say what's up, because that would be super cool to actually talk to you guys in person, as well as be able to look at all the new gear and get a bunch of new gear that I don't necessarily need, but I guess that's what everybody else does there. So, and also to be able to meet a bunch of people, and I think it's going to be a very fun time at that show, and then I'll get really super stoked for the season. By that time, I'm going to be like itching to be fishing in late March. I'll catch my first fish in April. I'll go into that in a second, but yeah, I'm super excited to have the chance to be working with Pumba Plugs, and I'll be at booth, again, I'll be at booth 929, and I'll be there as a pro staff member for Pumba Plugs. And then I think at some point, and this is still up in the air at this time, but I'm putting together a presentation, at some point. I don't know what day it will be, but, I'll do a presentation on how to catch giant fish on Pumba Plugs. And, I'll be able to answer questions and go in, say, just, talk about some top secret things that I won't talk about on the, podcast. But that will be super cool to do, and I'm super excited to to even have the shot, the chance to be there and working with Pumbaa Plugs. And because I, you know, having not, I was, till I started working with Pumbaa Plugs and was able to use all the different plugs that they used, that they make, I'd never thrown a deep diving metal lip like this before in my entire life. Never thrown something that's a deep diving metal lip. I threw Danny once before, but then I started picking up their Danny plugs and instantly fell in love. Because I mean, I was able to make them in a way that I could get them to like I could have Joe, the builder of the plug, make them to my specifications for my area. So it was pretty cool to be able to like say, oh, we should do the plug and bunker, or and he made some awesome ones like this that he didn't tell me about that were in the Alewife, you know, shad color. That's super cool. And being able to test all these plugs out with him has been a really awesome eye-opening experience. So I, and also on top of that, if you don't know, these plugs are the first really environmentally friendly plugs, down to the epoxy, the paint, and all the hardware that's on the plugs are completely environmentally friendly. And this, and we're trying to hopefully start a new trend of having some different companies start trying to go move into this environmentally friendly area, because the, a big part of our fisheries being able to catch these fish in the future and have everybody else's, you know, and have for generations and generations be able to catch fish. And plastic is really having a huge impact on our ocean. So whatever we can do to reduce our use of plastic, especially through fishing, because we do, we are so directly impacted by the environment, well, fishing is very important. Sorry, I'm super sick right now. So I'm like, my nose is running and I'm dying here. But yeah, so I'll be at the booth. I'll be running around at the show, but I'll mostly be at the booth for all the days. So that'll be fun. And I'll be able to hopefully answer any questions that people have that in person. Because I think that, I mean, everybody fishes differently. So this is, it, you know, everybody fishes differently, and it's cool to talk to people that fish differently from you, because that's how you learn and you, morph your way of fishing into, you know, the best way possible. I'm super excited to be there. And I think it's going to be a great, great time. Yeah, so back to being super stoked after that show in March. So because that's at the end of March, and I'll probably catch my first fish at the end of April, probably within, you know, probably like a month later, I'll be catching my first fish, literally. I'll probably go and fish New Jersey. Last year, I went and fished Sandy Hook, New Jersey last year, drove up on a whim. Had no idea what I was doing or where to fish. I think we stopped into the tackle store. Was there a tackle store there? I don't remember, but we went up there and, we hit it. We drove up. There's like a bunch of parking lot spaces. I forget exactly which one we parked at, but somewhere in the middle. And then we walked over to this jetty that was sticking out. It wasn't that big of a jetty. It was just like a little jetty, and we started walking to the right, and then all of a sudden we started hooking up every single cast on bass up to almost 28 inches. I think the largest one we got was 27 maybe, and then we had a few that were definitely 28 inches that pulled hooks, but we had a lot of like decent fish, and I was having so much fun. We probably caught a dozen apiece, and it was so good to kind of just be back catching striped bass again. We were using SP minnows, Daiwa SP minnows, small Daiwa SP minnows, we were just cranking fish. Because I had never fished there, and I was like, oh, should I throw a bucktail or not? And I would didn't like again at that point, I still didn't really fish the beach that often. So I kind of knew that, you know, the current was moving and I was like, why not? And then the other thing that was crazy was the bait fish offshore was insane. The gannets and the bait, which was probably shad or maybe even, I'm not entirely sure what it would be. Maybe mullet? I don't know. I honestly have no idea because I don't fish in New Jersey. So somebody in New York, New Jersey, tell me what bait fish would have been there in like April 20th sometime in that time frame. What bait fish would there be gannets dive bombing on like 200 yards off the beach? And we were catching a lot of fish, but they weren't very big. Could have been sand eels maybe, but the fact that there are gannets diving on them, I can't imagine that they were. Again, I don't really know what bait it would be, but we were absolutely cranking fish on these little Daiwa SP minnows. And I think I was throwing a pencil as well, and I got a bunch of blow-ups, but I don't think I got a bass to actually commit to hitting it. But it was nonstop action for like maybe 2 hours. Just like a lot of like strikes. They weren't really eating it very like aggressively, but they're definitely just getting, I mean, there are a lot of fish around in the water. I think at that time, it's just that we hit it perfectly where the bass are starting to push out strong and there's just a lot of little fish around. And actually the setup that I was using was a GSB Skinner, with a Penn Battle 2 on it. Or is this a Penn Battle? I don't even know. Penn Battle 2 500 with 30 pound test braid, and I had a 50 pound leader on there because I didn't know if there'd be bluefish or not. Again, don't fish in New Jersey, so I had no idea if there'd be bluefish or not. And then I had a leader. This is not the same leader. I think I have 60 pound on this right now, so I won't even show you the leader because it doesn't, it's not exactly what I was using. But I was using this reel, this rod, and I had 50 pound mono leader attached to a barrel swivel and a small, I don't think it was small, but it was like a normal size tactical anglers clip. So that's the setup that I was using, with a little SP minnow on it, and I was cranking the fish. And then I also used my 2000 Vanstall VSX, or 200, I mean. Not 2000, 200 Vanstall VSX, and I was cranking fish. I think we had 2 days, and the first day we caught a lot, and the second day we didn't catch anything, but I think it was based on really the tide. So, if you're in New Jersey and you know the area well, or are in anywhere in New Jersey and know when the bass will be showing up in April, DM me and maybe I'll go fish with you or something like that, or you can tell me where to go and where I should fish, because I know nothing about that area. I looked at a map and I was like, Sandy Hook, New Jersey is not that far away, so I can just drive down there for 2 days and beat up on some schoolie bass, which has exceeded my expectation, because 1 year, the year before, I went down to Cape May, New Jersey. And the water was super dirty because there was a big storm that rolled through before that, and we didn't catch anything. So my expectations were exceeded in that regard. But I think that maybe with the knowledge I have now, I might have been able to catch a fish there. But I mean, I don't know if you remember this, but the fish were kind of late that year. That was a horrible year for me. Last season was a legendary season, but the two seasons before that were not great seasons for me as far as numbers of fish in general. So, I think that is, so then I just want to get into my, what I use, what my setup is normally when I'm fishing in the spring. I like to fish my, the GSB Skinner rod. It's like a 9'2" rod, and it's a great rod because it's just like a good size rod. It's not too big, and Crazy. A new rod. I have a custom Century Stealth rod that I'm super excited to fish with. It's a lighter rod, so I'm excited to fish with it in the spring. It's also going to be a good rod for eeling. It's also a lot longer. It's like a 10 foot, I think. And yeah, 10 foot 6 inch rod. So I'm super excited to fish with that because it's a little bit longer. So if I'm fishing off the sandy beaches or off the rocks and I need a little extra distance, I can use that. And that should be a lot of fun to fish with. And then I'm going to be fishing with the VS X200 Van Stahl on those two rods. That's going to have 50-pound braid attached to a 50-pound fluorocarbon leader. And I'll probably fish that until about, pretty much until the beginning of June. Then I'm going to bump up my leader to a 65-pound leader. And then in late June, when the bass really start getting big, I'm going to go up to my 10-foot, my 10-foot GSB rod, and I'm going to be with my Van Stahl VSX 275, and I'm going to be throwing, and with 80-pound Max Quattro braid and 80-pound fluorocarbon leader. And the reason I go so heavy is because I've lost so many big fish, and I've talked a lot about why I go so heavy, but I'd rather land a giant fish and then not land a giant fish. I'd also sacrifice some hits and bites running heavy line and leader and stuff than hook into a 50-pound bass and lose it due to my line breaking on a rock or something or not having strong enough gear. So that's why I fish so heavy. And then I'm also going to do I'll probably do a bunch of missions to the Cape in the spring, all through the springtime. Probably hit the canal a few times, even though I hate the canal. But if the canal's on, I guess you can't really hate it. But I'll probably do a little bit to the canal, but I'll do a lot just off the beach and do a little bit of Rhode Island stuff, maybe. But yeah, I want to try out some new areas and do a little bit more traveling and then... Yeah, so I think it's going to be a pretty interesting spring for me, and I have a little bit of a light plan planned out, and now you guys have a little bit of better idea of exactly how my spring's going to, or what my spring schedule-ish is going to look like and what I'm doing in the off-season. So thank you guys for watching this podcast, and hopefully I see you on the next time.